Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
When the enigmatic Nicholson Baker published You and I, a true story about his literary relationship with John Updike, it inspired a whole subgenre of engaging, entertaining writing about literature. In the same tradition, but for the first time an examination of a writer's literary obsession from the moment of conception, comes Be and Me, a true story of literary arousal by J.C. Holman. Holman was the recipient of a 2013 fellowship from the Guggenheim Foundation. He studied creative writing at the University of Pittsburgh, and he is the author of such books as The Chest Artist, The Hospital for Bad Poets, and In Utopia. Again, the title of the new book is Be and Me, A True Story of Literary Arousal, and we welcome J.C. Holman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to speak with you, and thank you very much. It's good to be here.
How did it come to be, as in the sense of wanting to tell this story, but ultimately having the story take place in the first place?
Well, a number of years ago, I got interested in how we write about literature and got attracted to the literary relationship stories, that whole tradition of literary relationship stories, which goes way back even before Nicholson Baker to writers like Virginia Woolf and Henry James and D.H. Lawrence and Frank O'Connor and Milan Kundera and on and on and on. But what I'd never seen done was anybody telling a literary relationship story from its moment of conception, from that first moment when you hear of an author. And now it seems so strange to me because we go through this, dozens if not hundreds of times. We hear of authors, we hear their names in interviews or in reviews or on advertisements, and then eventually something happens and we decide that we have to read them. And I had known that Nicholson Baker wrote this really formative literary relationship story, but I didn't. I didn't read his book, even as I was deeply immersing myself in that kind of covert tradition of good writing about reading. And in fact, I did so much, of that reading that I eventually wound up putting together an anthology, The Story About the Story, which appeared from Tin House Books a few years ago. And just a few months after I published that anthology, Nicholson Baker published another book, The Anthologist. Right. And that made me think, okay, now there's something strange here. Maybe this is the opportunity to tell that literary relationship story from its moment of conception. And so that was the moment that I sat down and actually started writing the book before I ever read a word of him.
I do want to talk about Nicholson Baker, but it is safe to say, and I think you would agree, that ultimately this book is really not about Nicholson Baker and becomes in some way a representation of all writers.
Yeah, I mean, Nicholson Baker turned out to be a great writer to take on for a subject like this, because I was concerned about the state of modern literature and the role of books in the world, and it turns out Baker himself has been concerned about those things for a long time too. It wasn't really an accident that I had been drawn to his work. It wound up being that our thinking collided in a lot of ways, and in fact I'd been influenced by Baker without even really realizing it through other people. And Baker's career, spanning really the entire period of the digital revolution, and taking that on as a subject, and the things that he's written about, whether it's his sort of infamous sex novels, or whether he's writing about the role and purpose of libraries, or he's writing World War II history, or whatever it is, his career in and of itself seemed to be almost kind of the story of literature in the latter part of the 20th century and the early 21st century. So he is kind of a microcosmic writer, in that reading him enabled me to really feel like I was addressing the larger questions about the role and purpose and future of books.
So let us talk for a moment about Nicholson Baker, because here is the writer that you connect with and that you examine. And I have had Nicholson Baker on the show several times. I have read, I believe, all, if not most, of his work. And what I find fascinating about it is that it is so skilled, but it is also erratic, and I would say even in some cases, odd. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, sure. You know, I think. Well, you know, I mean, erratic, odd. I don't know. but what Baker is doing, what he's done with his career, is sort of not normal in the sense that, you know, writers tend to find their pigeonhole subject and then just stay there, and they just do the same thing, you know, for the entirety of their career. And Baker has kind of defied that. So he sort of seems to make these, you know, leaps from subject to subject. And but what I found was that there were sort of subtle threads of connection between these widely disparate subjects, and that was a very keen and often unremarked upon pleasure of reading, you know, finding those little hints that leap from book to book. You know, so for example, I was able to, you know, to chart or find a direct line from, you know, Baker's interest in card catalogs, the disappearance of card catalogs, which he started talking about in the mid-90s, to his concern over drone technology just recently. And, you know, and so it's a thread of thought that for him lasts a decade and a half and covers a wide range of topics, but you can really find the way that they all connect. And then, you know, what that winds up embodying to my mind is the way the mind itself works, you know, that the mind leaps from idea to idea. It doesn't stay on one continuous subject. It streams from thought to thought, whooshing here and back again. And Baker's, you know, individual sentences have that, but then as his career as a whole embodies that as well.
As you write in the book, that you can look at the drones and go back as far as 2004 and say, okay, that this was something that he was concerned about, and then recent interviews he has inserted this. But even you use the word peculiar in explaining some of the interviews that he has given. What is it about, do you think, that and you described it much, I guess, more charitably than I did in the sense of using the word odd and erratic. However, there is a skipping around and a use of his skill in a way that has a strange trajectory to follow it, unless you were doing what you were doing, which is to follow it as closely as you did.
Yeah, I think that you know, maybe the question you're asking me is kind of embodied in Baker's book Checkpoint, which is maybe his most controversial book. And this is a book in which, you know, two men are sitting in a hotel room and are arguing about whether one of them should try to kill President George W. Bush. And it was controversial when it appeared. And I argue in the book that it's an argument against violence, not for it. The guy who is against this assassination wins the argument in the end. And so it's literally an argument against violence. But during their conversation, you know, these are two guys who are kind of in either way, they're sort of Baker stand-ins, you know, and one of them has a career very much like Nicholson Baker. And the other character, the one who is concerned about drone technology and who is preoccupied by all kinds of troubling thoughts, he is, you know, accusing the more Baker figure of not using his talents enough to, you know, to address the real problems of the world right at this moment. And so I think that Baker, and again, like any writer, probably does wonder whether his skills are getting put to the best possible use to solve the problems of our day. And I think, you know, that's... it's a valid question, you know, and it speaks to a larger question of whether literature is even supposed to do that.
You mentioned something earlier that I think is very interesting, that the time that he has been writing, it is very much following technology and is following these various technological advances, and more so our relationship to them and often our use of them. And I think a good example of that is his novel Vox, which I think was the first novel I ever read by Nicholson Baker. Talk a little bit about Vox, mm-hmm. and how that fits into the overall picture of his literary work.
Well, Vox is Baker's phone sex novel, and it's a little like Checkpoint in that it's entirely made up of dialogue, and it's a man and woman having a phone sex conversation. And you know, at first glance, you're going to think, well, this is probably crass, it's probably pornographic, and it certainly has all that. You know, Baker's three sex novels, Vox, The Fermata, and House of Holes, are all very graphic, and he has, as you know, the House of Holes is subtitled A Book of Raunch. You know, he's pretty brazen about how he presents this work. But Vox, in particular, is a little unusual in that it's two people on the phone and they're talking about sex, but what they're also doing is they're telling stories to one another. And eventually, you know, if you pay attention, if you sort of look past the obvious surface-level sexual arousal component, you realize, well, they're teaching one another how to tell stories. And I think that this was true of really each of Baker's sex novels, The Fermata and House of Holes, too, in that these three books become a kind of embodiment of an age-old metaphor that reading is a kind of human intimacy for which we have no better metaphor than human sexual activity. It feels that intimate. You're getting that close to another person's mind. So each of those books are a literal manifestation of what mostly remains figurative. And then what I did in Being Me is I took that same metaphor and tried to take it to the next level, tried to take it as far as a metaphor for reading as it could be taken.
In using You and I as kind of a jumping off point, for you writing B and Me, can you then make a connection, the next connection to your interest in Updike?
I think that would probably be maybe a step backward. You know, I think that it's not that I need to read the person that Baker read. It's not that readers of my book need to go read Baker. It's that they need to go read the next person. And, you know, in a way, you know, I mean, so in tone, my book is a little similar to You and I, though it has other, I'm borrowing other models as well, from
right.
other models as well. In a way, my book's sort of the exact opposite of You and I, in the sense that Baker is recalling having read Updike earlier in life, this life of influence,
right.
And where I'm coming to Baker just completely cold and chronicling the whole experience of taking him in. So it's sort of opposite, and I would think that the next step has got to find not only a new subject but a new style, a new strategy.
So did you feel a necessity to, in fully understanding that book, to read Updike in any way?
Well, I'd read Updike, you know, so it wasn't as though I had no point of reference. Did I go back and read Updike after I read You and I? I think I did. I think I read, I reread some Pigeon Feathers, and I read Pigeon Feathers is Baker's first, or is Updike's first book.
Right.
And also Baker talked a lot about Updike's book Self-Consciousness, and I knew that consciousness was a really important subject to Baker sort of throughout his career, and since he'd cited it as really influential, I went and found that as well, and found it very illuminating.
What do you hope people get out of your story in Be and Me?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess I hope that they get out of it what I tried to get out of it for myself, you know, which was some sense of a kind of renewed purpose to my reading life, you know, that the book's a story, and so, you know, I'm in it as a character, and so there's something at stake for me. The book begins with a crisis, and the reading of Baker solves the crisis, and I think maybe, you know, my crisis is something that a lot of people go through, which is just that modern life is so hectic and busy that it's hard to make time for a real serious reading life. And so if people were to read my book and feel compelled to really throw themselves into an author, be it Baker or someone else, that would be very rewarding for me.
The name of the book, Be and Me, A True Story of Literary Arousal. It is published by Simon & Schuster. J.C. Hallman, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. I enjoyed it.
Again, the title of the book, Bee and Me, A True Story of Literary Arousal. The book is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.